I see the long, beautiful table, and my mind wanders. The lights are off, but the afternoon light from the window allows me to see all the details. The beautiful inlays, the grain of the wood, the luster of the finish, so perfectly polished. Everything in the room is old. No, that's the wrong word for it. Traditional. Classic. Elegant. Around the room are antiques. I see a plate inlaid with gold and so many other colors. It tells a story. A woman diving for pearls. An octopus. There are words, but I can't read them. But I don't need to. Something about it speaks to me. A bowl. I run my finger along its rim, and it feels different from anything I have ever touched. I know it is old, but more than that, I can feel the soul of the person who made it. A vase. Curves that are so elegant they evoke feelings of a bygone era. I feel memories, and I am not even sure they are mine. Longing. Loss. Nostalgia. I feel both sadness and gratitude. Sadness that I will never know that world myself, but gratitude that I am able to feel a small part of it in what still survives. I walk around the table and trace my fingers over the table, imagining. It is old too. I wonder what stories it might tell if it could speak to me. It won't be much longer now. I just want to spend time here, alone for a bit. When I return a few hours later, the room is different. There are tables and chairs. Two bars are set up, and at the front of the room, chairs and musical instruments propped up. I'm only wearing a robe now. It is thin, made of red silk, tied shut with a white sash. Nothing underneath. My bare feet feel cold on the floor. I smile as two men approach. One I know, the other I don't. The man I know is smiling. This is his gift to me. The man I don't know looks more serious. He approaches and gestures toward the one I know, and then to me. The man I know, the man I love, steps behind me and wraps his arms around me, drawing me in close. I can feel him breathing. He is careful not to touch my hair or my face. I've just spent 2 hours having both of them done. His hands untie the sash around my waist, slowly pulling it away, and the robe opens just a bit. The sash falls to the floor, like cherry blossoms from the trees at the end of the season. His hands slide down inside my robe, and I feel it slide off my shoulders, the cool air from the room washing over them, sending tingles through my body. He presses a bit more firmly, and the silk fabric parts, revealing me, exposing me. The man in front of me opens the bag he is carrying and pulls out a length of rope. The light seems to dance off it. I watch as he unwraps the length of rope, letting the ends fall to the ground. My body reacts to the sound, rope hitting the floor. Nothing else sounds quite like it. I feel my robe slide down my arms as it falls to the floor around me. It falls away as if it was blown by a gentle breeze. I'm naked now. I think to cover myself, but I manage to stand still. The man I know guides my hands to my side and whispers in my ear, "You are so beautiful." The man with the rope approaches and reaches out, his left hand taking my right, pulling it forward. He slowly wraps the rope around my wrist and effortlessly ties a knot. I draw in a long, slow breath. This is really happening, I think to myself. The rope feels good, and his touch is gentle. I look down, watching as he draws my other hand up, capturing it with the rope and wrapping it around. The first wrap is firm, and the second tightens things even more. I watch as a cinch appears between my wrists and his hands move fluidly, tying it off. My hands are bound, and my heart races. I twist them ever so slightly. I want to know it is real. And it is. I feel safe, secure, bound. He raises my hands up, slowly and gently moving them into position. My hands now behind my head, wrists gently pressed to the back of my neck. I close my eyes and take a moment to feel it, to let myself experience what is happening. Safety gives way to exposure. I feel myself opening up. As he pulls the rope taut behind me, I feel my inner arms and my armpits. I feel the tender parts of my skin, the ones usually hidden now made vulnerable. I gasp as his hands wrap the rope around my chest, just under my breasts. Tight, but not too tight. A second wrap, over my breasts now, and as I draw in my next breath, I feel it. The rope moves, expanding and contracting along with me. The rope feels like it is alive. I am guided down to the table, the one I had been admiring earlier. I cross my hands and they make a pillow for my head. I start to feel more exposed. I watch as a second length of rope comes out, this one flowing down my stomach and around my hips. It crosses, and he ties knots. It is loose at first, and then as he loops the rope through the center, it expands, forming a series of diamonds along my belly. I feel the rope underneath my back, wrapping under the table now, securing me to it. Another rope attached to my elbows, pulling them down and securing them in place, flat against the table. More exposure. More openness. I can't look down at my body now, but I feel rope around my hips, slowly wrapping my legs, above and below the knees. Down my calves, around my ankles. Loose at first, gently and slowly it tightens. It feels so good, so safe, so secure. The pressure on my legs somehow makes me feel more aware of my exposed breasts and arms. I squirm as much as I can. I want to know if I can move, and how much. I can adjust only in the smallest of ways, and as I do, the ropes seem to know how to respond. As I twist my wrists and ankles, the ropes slide into just the right places, holding me, caressing me, comforting me. I see the man with the rope nod and then walk away. My eyes follow him as he moves to the next table over and to the next girl waiting. I feel hands on me. I know the hands touching me now. They know where to touch and how to touch me. I can feel my arousal growing, too. My man is holding a long red silk strip of fabric, which he places over my eyes. As it approaches my eyes, I close them, and I feel a sense of surrender as it is wrapped around my head. I raise my head a bit to allow him to tie it behind me. I can only imagine how I look now, displayed, bound, an object. No words are spoken, but I can tell he is aroused, too. The way he touches. The sound of his breathing. I drift off for a bit, my mind slowing, growing empty. Like the plates, bowls, and vases I had so admired earlier. Waiting. To be filled. To be used. My trance is broken by the sound of footsteps, and I can hear voices. Women's voices. And then it begins. The sensation of something cool being placed on my breasts, my chest, my stomach, and my arms. All along my legs. The ropes there are pulled a bit and my knees twist, and as they do, my inner thighs are exposed, as is my pussy. I grow more aware of the feeling between my legs, my arousal. I can feel everything now. I can feel the rice on my skin. I can feel the seaweed that encircles it. I can feel a small dish placed on my belly, and I can smell the scent of soy sauce as it is poured into it. I feel the coolness of small mounds of wasabi and the smell of ginger. More sushi is placed on my body, decorating it, adorning it. I reflect back on the last thing I saw. Red fabric slowly coming closer to cover my eyes, and then I remember looking in the mirror, recalling how my lips had been painted exactly the same color. Everything starts to feel balanced, in perfect symmetry. I am becoming a work of art, a plate, a bowl, a vase. I realize I can't move at all now. I am still motionless. The only expressions I have are my soft moans, the gentle rising and falling of my chest in the ropes, and the sensations and responses I feel in my pussy. The sound of a flute fills the air. Gentle melodies of a koto start to make it all feel like a dream. Soon there are doors opening, followed by voices. So many voices. I can hear bits and pieces of conversation as people pass by. Even blindfolded, I can hear them stopping, and I can feel their eyes on me, watching, looking, admiring. When the music stops, so does the movement. The voices slowly dissipate, and the room grows silent. Only one word is spoken. Itadakimasu! The voices return, more animated now, and I gasp as I feel something. The sushi, like the ropes covering my body, has started to feel like a part of me. One is lifted away, and I feel the hand of the person who took it brush over me. My insides squirm as a wash of emotions flood over me. I have an acute awareness of the spot where the sushi was. It feels naked, exposed. I feel like a part of me has been taken, stolen, carelessly and without thought. I part my lips. I want to say something, but my instructions are clear. No words. I let out a soft sigh and wonder if anyone even notices. And then there are more hands, touching me, taking pieces of me away. I feel the smallest amount of pressure on my belly as piece after piece is dipped in soy sauce. I listen as I hear it slide into the mouth of the person standing beside me. Sometimes I can feel little droplets hit my skin. Sometimes they are wiped away. Sometimes they are left there to dry. My brain can't keep up. One from a leg, an arm, off my breast. It is like I am being taken apart, dissected. Occasionally, fingers trace along the edges of the ropes, brushing my skin, tracing the contours of the designs that decorate me. I feel so many different hands, some rough, some gentle, long fingernails tracing over my skin. My pussy is wet now, and I can feel it growing so hungry. As others feed from me, it makes my desperation swell. I can feel sushi still scattered across my body. It is no longer neat or in a pattern I can recognize. Each piece still pressing on my skin has a life of its own. And each time I lose one, I tremble. When the last one disappears, I feel my eyes start to well up with tears. I feel truly naked now, exposed. Raw. I want to feel hands on me. I want to be touched, used, violated. I want so many things. I part my lips, wanting to be kissed. But I am empty now. I hear the voices and sense the bodies, but they aren't close now. They aren't attending to me. I have nothing to offer them now. I start to think of all the beautiful treasures in the room, what it means to be a beautiful bowl left unfilled, a plate that has nothing on it to serve, a vase without a flower. Like me, they all wait. They wait to be touched, to be useful, to be used. I am surrounded by people, but I am also alone. I am surrounded by voices, hearing conversations that I cannot be a part of. I hear a sound in the distance, a sound I know. I recognize it from earlier, coming closer, the cart, and then I stiffen in my ropes, something cold. Not just cold, freezing, touches my nipples, one on each side. Ice, I think, but not ice. Another just below my belly, just above my pussy. It feels round and soft. A small breeze blows in just the right direction and I take in a familiar scent. Green tea. Mochi. Ice cream. Slowly, it starts to melt. Sticky. Dripping down the sides of my breasts. Coating them. Between my legs, it is perfectly placed, rivulets of cold, sticky droplets starting to slide around my pussy and down my inner thigh. A few find their way to my pussy, trickling over my lips and dancing on my swollen clit. I try to squirm, but the ropes won't permit it. I realize that there is an art to this, just like everything else tonight. I am now dessert. I am useful again. A filled bowl, a platter embellished, a vase now displaying a single, perfect flower. My meditation is interrupted by a finger, tracing a swirling pattern on my left breast. A soft finger. I hear it being sucked clean. And then a mouth follows. A tongue licking me, tasting me. It brushes over my nipple, and then lips draw it into a warm, wet mouth. Teeth press against it, biting softly before letting it slip back away. My nipples stiffen, and then there are more fingers, more lips, more tongues. My pussy throbbing with the feeling of melted mochi ice cream covering me, wanting to be attended to, needing it. And when a tongue licks my inner thigh, I think I am going to explode. Another tongue on the other side. A finger rubbing my clit, stopping, licking, tasting. Now my wetness is mixing with the sticky sweet dessert and I can't keep track of how many people are touching me, or where. Pinching, licking, biting, lapping at me. My pussy is getting more attention than I can handle and my nipples feel like they are directly connected to my clit now. I shake and shudder, my insides squirming. I start to feel an orgasm grow inside me, but it isn't coming from anywhere. It is coming from everywhere. Every single part of my body is connected, and each touch and each taste, every single sensation sends off tiny little waves of intense pleasure. I feel them in every part of my body. And then there is a tongue on my clit, licking, slowly, the tip turning small circles, lips sucking it in gently as the tongue flicks back and forth. His mouth, his tongue, his lips. I explode over and over again, feeling everything. When it ends, the hands, lips, tongues, fingers all fall away, slowly. A hand on my cheek, tenderly caressing, and then it disappears too. The voices start to fade away, the sounds too, and after a time, I am alone again. And then I think back to the treasures of the mansion, the plates, the bowls, the vases, and I understand them better now. I feel a kind of kinship with them. I know their value. Like them, I too have a history now, a story, I understand that they aren't just beautiful because of what they can do. They have a beauty all their own, each of them unique, each of them offering something that nothing else can. Each one of them is a treasure. And now, as I lay motionless, bound, and spent, I know what it means to be treasured too.